From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, teenagers at the pulpit, Preach-a-Palooza ramps up in Dallas, and how a chicken got to the top of the culinary pecking order. First, to one of the toughest stories in our series, One Crisis Away. A third of North Texans are living without enough cushion to last more than a few months after a financial disruption. KERA's series put a face on asset poverty by chronicling four local families. One was a couple in Rockwall, Isaac and Elizabeth Madrid. Days after the birth of their son, Isaac was diagnosed with a rare disease. He was in and out of the hospital for more than a year and died in February. Since then, KERA's Courtney Collins reports Elizabeth has been managing medical bills, a lively toddler, and her own grief.
Don't let the glossy curls, cherubic smile, and silky eyelashes fool you. 2.5-year-old Isaac Madrid keeps his mom on her toes.
Hey, ¿cuántos años tienes?
Dos.
A handsome, stubborn daredevil. Little Isaac is his dad all over again.
Physically and attitude-wise, he's just like his dad.
And Elizabeth doesn't mind a bit.
It's nice. It's nice to have a little piece of heaven with us. It's pretty comforting for me and the whole family.
Before Isaac died, the Madrids were living in Rockwall in a house they owned. Afterward, everything changed.
I moved in with my parents and I put my house to lease, and there's a new family living there.
Elizabeth gets a little over $1,300 a month by renting out her house. She says the money helps, but converting the property to a rental serves a more important purpose. The house in Rockwall is too big, too quiet, and too full of memories.
It's really good because I'm never alone. I always have somebody around, which that's what I want. I want company and not be alone and sad and thinking.
Since Isaac first got sick, Elizabeth has been shouldering her family's workload. She would shuttle the baby to a relative's house, drive Isaac to the hospital, and rush to Plano for a full 8-hour workday as an administrative assistant. Though she doesn't stop at the hospital anymore, she still works full-time and spends every other free moment chasing her little guy.
Isaac?
That doesn't leave a lot of time for grief, but Elizabeth would rather keep occupied.
Some days are okay, some days are good, and some days are bad. I try to keep busy as much as I can. I pretty much overbook myself, which is kind of bad, but it helps. It helps to be busy.
Elizabeth says one thing she isn't ready to face is the ever-growing pile of medical bills, thousands and thousands of dollars worth.
Some doctors forgave the debt, some didn't, and the ones that didn't, you know, I can't afford to pay, that's for sure. I mean, I just don't want to worry about it, you know, like I think I've had a good share of sadness, and I don't want to be worried with bills, and I know they deserve to be paid, but I just can't afford to pay them.
She just needs more time, she says, something her husband didn't get enough of. Time to live and laugh. Time with his wife and the little boy who's his spitting image.
He sees pictures and, you know, he knows who his dad is. My mother-in-law actually had some Christmas lights outside the house, and she told them that they were his dad's because they were ours. And so now every time he leaves his grandma's, he'll tell anybody, you know, those are my daddy's lights.
Got you.
Isaac remembers his dad by pointing out twinkle lights and flipping through photos. For Elizabeth, all it takes is one look at the boy in her arms. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
To see a photo gallery of Elizabeth and little Isaac in their new home, go to keranews.org. The One Crisis Away project will continue with a new series in the next few months. Today in Dallas, the 6th annual National Festival of Young Preachers wrapped up. As BJ Austin reports, 130 people aged 14 to 28 stepped up to the pulpit this weekend. It's called Preach-a-Palooza.
Dozens of aspiring Christian preachers spilled out of the elevator onto the second floor of Highland Park United Methodist Church, ready for their final work sessions and preaching evaluations.
Good morning, everybody. This is our last preaching session.
For 20-year-old Nick Bettis, the final day was the big day. The Southwest Baptist University student from Bolivar, Missouri, was the last on the list to deliver a 15-minute sermon to peers and veterans of the pulpit who would evaluate his performance.
There are some ground rules, as you all know them. How long does the preacher get?
15 minutes.
Does that include scripture or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Before his turn, Bettis thumbed through his well-worn Bible with a duct tape cover and checked his sermon notes on his tablet. He chose a story from the book of Acts. the lame man carried to the temple gates each day to beg, who was healed by the disciple Peter.
When he looks at this crippled man, he does not see a story that has been set. He does not see a future that is simply going to be a copy and paste of the past. But he sees an open book with endless crisp white pages that are just waiting to have a new story written, waiting to have a touch of Christ.
Bettis talked about how God had written new and wonderful stories for members of his family this past year.
So today, give God the pen. Let him start writing your story.
SMU's Perkins School of Theology was a co-sponsor of the festival. Professor of Preaching and Worship Alice McKenzie says this year's theme was Tell Me a Story.
To me, it's really inspiring to see the unique personalities that God has called to speak a word and the stories from people's lives in which they can see God at work and that they share with such enthusiasm. And the enthusiasm and the networking that goes on lasts a long time after the event is over. So it's been a wonderful event.
And an event McKenzie hopes will spread enthusiasm for a life of preaching. The festival is trans-denominational, drawing from every Christian tradition. Nick Bettis fits several categories. He identifies himself as Pentecostal, goes to a Baptist university, and is a part-time youth minister at a small Methodist church. And he spent most of his free time at the conference hanging out with an Orthodox Christian and a Catholic. He says their talks lasted past midnight.
And not just learning about each other, but trying to figure out what we can learn from each other and how we can improve our own spiritual lives, how we can improve our own churches, how we can improve our own preaching based on what we learn from each other.
This was the first Festival of Young Preachers for Bettis, a college junior. He says he hopes to someday have his own church and bring what he learned at Preachapalooza to the pulpit.
Here endeth the preaching. Go in peace.
The 2016 National Festival of Young Preachers will be in Lexington, Kentucky. For KERA News, I'm BJ Austin.
When you sit down to dinner tonight, there's a good chance chicken will be on the plate. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked to Andrew Lawler, the author of a new book on chickens, about the role that slaves played in building the bird's popularity.
As time went by, the slaves in the American South began to grow chickens. And because whites didn't consider chickens to be all that important, they were allowed to grow and raise chickens and then actually sell them to the white slave owners.
So not only did that cause a proliferation, I guess, of chickens on American tables, but it gave at least some black families kept in slavery a source of income.
It became this whole underground economy that gradually surfaced in a kind of a surprising form because, of course, a lot of black women were cooking for their white masters, and they had an economic incentive to encourage those masters to eat more chicken. So as a result, the chicken became increasingly popular in the American South among the white gentry, and then that spread. And fried chicken, which is primarily a West African dish, which comes from the places where most African Americans were taken from, that became an incredibly popular dish in the South, and then, of course, spread around the country, and now around the world.
Andrew Lawler is the author of Why Did the Chicken Cross the World? The epic saga of the bird that powers civilization. Think re-airs tonight at 10, or you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. Tonight, you can expect mostly clear skies with a low around 31. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 51. Now, it's tomorrow night that we're potentially facing the worst cold snap of the season. Fortunately, the National Weather Service is reporting that it'll be clear and dry, but bundle up, because we're looking at lows tomorrow night around 19 degrees. It's currently 43 degrees in Dallas, 41 in Fort Worth, 44 in Tyler, and 43 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.